from KQED.
Well, if earthquakes, volcanoes, tsunamis, or hurricanes fascinate you, San Francisco is the place to be this week. Not because we had any of those disasters, thankfully, but some 20,000 scientists are attending the American Geophysical Union's fall conference, discussing the latest research on those topics and many others. Craig Miller from our Climate Watch unit was there, and he joins us now. Hi, Craig.
Hey, how are you doing, Scott?
Good. So, Craig, it sounds like a real feast for weather geeks. Was there a kind of theme or two running through this week's conference?
You know, it's amazing. I just have to take a moment and say this. I mean, this happens every year. For a whole week in the middle of December in San Francisco, 20,000 people, most of them scientists of some ilk, descend on this place. And there's this smorgasbord of research going on all week. It is really hard to pull highlights from it because it is such an overwhelming cascade of research and everything. But one thing that did kind of float to the top this time around was Jane Lubchenco, the head of NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, who was here to do a keynote address and to talk about this link, this emerging link between climate change and extreme weather events. Now, that may not sound like breaking news to you after the year that we've had in this country, but here's what she had to say about it.
Every time you turn around, there's something else that is really strange and really weird going on, and we need to listen to that. It's pretty clear that for some of those events, like heat waves, droughts, really big, intensive rainfall events, those we can connect the dots to climate change pretty convincingly.
And Craig, we've certainly here in California had our share of some of those things. But yeah, there's an old saying, you can complain all you want about the weather, but you can't change it. Do these folks at this conference disagree with them?
Well, they haven't rolled out any weather-changing technology that I know of, although the concept has been discussed. It's called geoengineering, and we've done some reporting on it in the past. But no, what they're really concerned about is that this is the early signature of climate change, you know, these extreme weather events that we've had. We've had 12 of them in the United States, $12 billion weather catastrophes just this year. So we're averaging one a month, which is way above the average. And yes, there can be wild fluctuations. And no, you still can't point to any single weather event and say, okay, draw this straight line to climate change. But what's happening now does seem to play out almost perfectly what we would expect with global warming.
You know, except for, say, the Republican presidential primary, it seems like for years now we've been saying that the science is you know, pretty much settled. But you're saying, oh, here's more proof? What exactly are you
saying? I'm saying the science is pretty much settled on what's causing global warming, that increased amounts of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, the link to global warming and is not a mystery anymore, although some still contend that it is. But it's always been hard to point to specific things and say that's the smoking gun. Now you hear Jane Lubchenco and others, other scientists and government officials, kind of coming out and being a little less bashful about making this connection and saying, you know what, no pun intended, this is the tip of the iceberg. We're seeing it now and we need to prepare for it because there is no way to stop it.
How do you prepare for it?
First of all, her organization is rolling out a set of new tools for planners, trying to bring about what she describes as a weather-ready nation, more awareness, more predictive tools. And then on top of that, you're seeing the rise of a whole new branch of the insurance industry. For example, there's a company right here in San Francisco called the Climate Corporation, which has nothing but developed new models for insuring farmers and ranchers against catastrophic weather events. It's a whole industry that's sprouted up around this. Because if we see these events happening more often, you know, farmers are going to have a choice. Do they want to take these losses, these catastrophic losses, or do they want to pay for very, very expensive insurance and insure against it? Either way, you got to believe it's going to affect food prices. So there are ripple effects from this all across the country.
And we're getting a little off topic here, mm-hmm. but sometimes the debate goes, well, we can't afford to do the things that experts say we need to do to reduce, say, carbon emissions. And yet you're saying if we don't do anything, there's going to be an economic catastrophe. There already is in some ways.
That's an argument that's been made for many years around in this whole climate change debate, is that the cost of not doing anything ultimately is going to be far greater than the cost of doing something. You know, some scientists like to use a driving an analogy for this. You know, it's like chances are when you get behind the wheel, you're not going to have an accident every time you go out, but you still buy auto insurance.
Yeah, and you're hoping you don't, but eventually you might.
Right.
So at the same time, there doesn't seem to be any political will here in the United States, maybe after the 2012 election. But, you know, that doesn't look particularly hopeful either. Do the scientists, were they expressing this week frustration about that?
Well, interesting that you bring that up, because this, of course, is week number two of the UN climate talks going on in Durban, South Africa. This is the 17th conference of the parties. OK, these are the folks who brought you the Kyoto Protocol, which was a treaty that the U.S. never signed and is going to expire anyway next year. And at this point, it doesn't look like there's going to be a replacement for it. Ban Ki-moon, the UN Secretary General, came to Durban and said the world cannot accept no for an answer in Durban. And yet it's not over, but we're getting into the late innings here on this this conference. And it's looking like once again, no will be the answer in terms of some kind of binding, meaningful international agreement.
Finally, Craig, Jerry Brown is hosting a climate conference next week, again here in San Francisco, kind of following in Arnold Schwarzenegger's footsteps. Any reason to think something important is going to come out of that?
Well, that's part of the answer to your question, so what do we do? In the absence of some kind of meaningful international top-down agreement with teeth, people are coming to the realization that if there's a solution to this, it's going to have to be from the bottom up. More local action, more regional action. And I think that's what this conference is going to be about.
That's Craig Miller from our Climate Watch unit. Craig, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Scott.